Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to read verse 9, which says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold your God. Every man and woman on this earth has a God. Every single man and woman on this earth has a God. A man or woman who does not believe there is a God, he is his own God. But every man and woman on this earth has a God. They don't all have the same God. If people talk to each other, they'll find out they don't all have the same God. And that's sad. And that's dangerous. Because there's only one true and living God. Just one. I want to know who that God is, don't you? Thousands and thousands of men are standing up right now preaching Jesus. Preachers. And they're preaching Jesus, but here's the question. Which Jesus are they preaching? Are they preaching the Lord Jesus Christ of Scripture? Or are they preaching another Jesus? Everybody's always talking about the Spirit. The Spirit. They say, boy, the Spirit got a hold of somebody today. He's got the Spirit. She's got the Spirit. The Spirit was in that place. Well, the Scripture says in 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many spirits out there. Many different spirits out there. People say, oh, I love the gospel. I love the gospel. Love gospel music. Love gospel preaching. Well, which gospel do you love? Which message do you love? Do you love the message that gives glory to God, all of the glory to God? The good news of God and what He hath done? Or the message that gives glory to man and what man has done and what man can do? Everything outside of the truth of Scripture is no gospel at all. Really, it's no gospel at all. There's only one God, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is His Spirit. And the gospel is concerning Him. When we hear the gospel, or we talk about the gospel is concerning Jesus Christ. It's concerning Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the gospel. That's how a sinner who ought to be banned by God can be accepted by God. That's how a sinner who deserves hell and death can receive eternal life and salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's the gospel. The gospel is concerning Jesus Christ. Not me at all. Not man at all. Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah 40, verse 9, we're going to read it again. It says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, good news, that's the gospel. The gospel means good news. He says, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold your God. Not their God. Not this other God. Your God. See your God. Our Lord said in John chapter 12, verse 32, And I, if I be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, our Lord said, If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up, and they look unto me, they will live. So the commandment is, behold, behold, look, see, what, who? Your God. Your God. God is the absolute sovereign of everything, the controller of everything. Everything's in His hand. Everything's in His will. Everything's in His purpose. We bow to Him. Behold your God. Acknowledge your God. He said in Isaiah 45, verse 22, Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. There's only one sovereign. The God who wants to do something only if I will let Him is not God at all. That makes me God, actually. If He can't do it unless I let Him, then I'm God. There's only one true and living God. Let's behold Him this morning, okay? We're going to behold our God as He is, who He is. Now, if you have your Bibles open, turn with me to Isaiah 42. A couple of pages over to Isaiah 42. Verse 1 says, and this is God the Father speaking, He says, Behold my servant. Behold my servant. Everything that I've prophesied in the Old Testament, you behold my servant. He will fulfill it. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He's the one I've chosen. God the Father said, Behold my servant, my son, the one I sent to do my will. Behold him, mine elect. He is the one I've chosen to be the Savior of every sinner that I've put in Him. Every sinner that I've given to Him. Verse 1 right here in Isaiah 42 says, I have put my Spirit upon Him. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God the Father says, I've put my Spirit upon Him. He shall bring forth judgment. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He's going to bear this task willingly. And he's going to do it all by himself. Do you know what the good news is? The gospel is? Our Lord Jesus Christ paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And he did it all by himself. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He's the one I've chosen. He's the one that's going to bear this task. He's going to do it willingly, and he's going to do it all by himself. Verse 2 right here in Isaiah 42 says, "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." He has no need to. No need to. He's the only one able to perform it. He's the only one. Verse 4 says, "He shall not fail, nor be discouraged." That is good news. That's good news. He shall not fail. Do you know the whole time he walked this earth, not one time did he ever get discouraged? Not one time. When he allowed them to take him and bring him before Pilate, and when he allowed them to punch him in the face and spit in his face and curse him and beat him and whip him, and when he allowed them to press thorns into his forehead, and when he allowed them to take him out to that hill and nail him to that tree, not one time did he ever get discouraged. Why? He was accomplishing the work that God the Father sent him to do. Behold, my servant. What's his mission? What's he here to do? Verse 7 right here in Isaiah 42 says, he's going to open the blind eyes to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's what he's going to do. That is your God. He is your God, and he's my God. Thanks be to God. He's my God. Deuteronomy 32 says, their rock is not as our rock. And what he's saying is, their God is not like our God. The true God of Scripture shall not fail. Shall not fail. Now turn with me over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19 in verse 5 says this, "Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man." Behold the man. Behold the fact that our God was and is truly a man. Truly. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, a real man. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Behold this man, born by the Holy Spirit of God. He was born under the law, just like you and me, a real man, subject to all of God's laws, just like you and me, a real man. He was tempted, just like you and me, a real man, yet without sin. We sin. Sin plagues everything we do. Sin never touched him, never entered into him. He was tempted, yet without sin. He grew weary with his journey, the scripture says. It says he hungered. He said, I thirst. He groaned in his spirit. It says he became exceedingly sorrowful. And the Word of God actually says he wept. He cried. Behold the man. That's your God. And that's my God. Behold your God. Behold my servant. Behold the man. Now look at right here in John 19. Look at verse 14. It says, and it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. Behold your king. Behold my servant. Behold the man. Behold your king. Turn with me over to Zechariah chapter 9. Back in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9. Verse 9 says this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. That's how you're going to know your king. That's exactly how. Now turn with me over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2, verse 1 says this, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king? King of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. He was born king. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, verse 23 says this, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this? He's your king. That's who he is. This is the king. Even the winds and the sea obey him. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 42 says this, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon. Solomon was a great king. The Lord God gave Solomon more than he gave anyone else. More vastness, more riches, more glory, more wisdom than anyone else. But behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon. Now let's go to Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 says this, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cutting down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? Who is this? They were crying, Hosanna! That means, Oh, save! It means, We adore you. And all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? He's the King. He's the King. The Old Testament is not something we throw out. The Old Testament is something that the New Testament is fulfilling. The Old Testament is saying, Your God is coming. Your King is coming. The New Testament is saying, Your God is here. Your King is here. Behold, your King. He's God's King. He's your King. And thanks be to God, He is my King. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 38. The end of it says this. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. This King is so high, and He's so holy. As He hung on the cross, the sun up in the sky bowed in majestic reverence to Him. And the sun refused to shine for 3 hours. Total darkness for 3 hours. Behold your King. The sun, the great star, that sun didn't shine for 3 hours when the King hung on the cross. Behold your King. Man, behold your King. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. Even the sun said, That's my King. And I bow to him. Job chapter 40, verse 3 says this. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. If God will open my eyes this morning that I may see, my eyes, if a sinner ever truly sees God's servant. If we poor, pitiful excuses for men ever see the man, the man. If we ever truly behold our King, do you know what we'll say? Behold, I am vile. Look at me. Oh, I'm vile. I'm so much more vile than I thought I was. I'm so wretched. Who shall deliver me? If I stand before God just as I am, we sing that song, just as I am. If I stand before God just as I am, God is going to kill me. Behold, I'm vile. I'm vile. Well, what's the remedy for that? What's the remedy for that? John chapter 1, verse 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb Himself. A male without spot or blemish. There was no sin in Him. He was slain, and His blood was poured all over the mercy seat in glory, that He might take away my vileness. Behold. Behold. If you're turning with me, turn back one page to Luke 24, verse 38 says, "And He said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Behold my hands and my feet." He died. Our God, God's servant, the man, our King, He died. Behold, it is finished. That is the one and only gospel. That's the good news. Behold, it is finished. Judgment has taken place for all those who the servant came to die for. The law has been satisfied for all those who the man came to live for. Mercy has been born for all those who dwell in the King's domain. Why? Behold, the Lamb was slain. Behold what manner of love. Well, in Revelation 22, verse 12, it says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Behold, I come quickly. Be watching. Be waiting. To those who don't care, be warned. Our God and our King says, "I come." Behold. That's your God. And that's my God. Until next Sunday morning, may our Lord God bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.